Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Some open lines here for the remainder of the first hour. School uniforms seems like such an innocuous subject. I remember when I was growing up, the educational theory during the time when I was growing up, we're talking here about the 60s and the early 70s, it was everything we'd done before had somehow stifled children's creativity and therefore their ability to learn. There was a whole new theory of learning out there. And that theory was children need to be, don't teach them the facts. Teach them the feelings. We spent a lot of time when we were kids, now not early on in grade school, but especially in late grammar school and junior high and high school, we spent a lot of time talking about what we thought about something rather than what we ought to think about something. Oh, yeah, we still managed to learn math and grammar and a couple of, well, actually, I didn't learn any grammar until I got to the seminary. But those kind of objective things didn't seem to matter much. It was more about creativity and don't tell them what to think. And, you know, it didn't make for a very good education, to tell you the truth. A lot of my education has been remedial and after the fact. Not to fault my teachers, it was the theory under which they operated. One of the things that went out the window during that age was the idea that there should be any kind of uniformity in school, especially uniforms, literally, the clothes that kids wore. The dress code, by the time I got to junior high, was pretty lax, really lax, almost as lax as it is around here at Issues Etc., where there is no dress code to speak of at all. I want to know what you think about school uniforms. Is it a good idea? School's about to begin, you know. Is it a bad idea? What are the pros and the cons of having our kids wear a uniform dress code? We're not talking about military uniforms here, but a uniform dress code in school, in the classroom, at classroom activities. Some say it will improve the way they act with one another. It will improve the way they act in the classroom. It will improve the way they learn. What do you think? 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's open lines this Thursday, August the 7th. Or email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. School uniforms, yes, no. What are the good points? What are the bad points? And a little bit later, we'll get to some news pieces on the modesty issue, because, of course, modesty is one of the things they're also trying to reinstate with the reinstatement of school uniforms, because along with the sagging dress codes come the sagging pants on the boys. Everybody's seen that. And perhaps for the girls, very difficult in school, especially as the years go by. When a young woman walks in to say, okay, that's too much, or that isn't enough clothes. What do you think? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Did you ever wear uniforms when you were going to school, Jeffy?
No, I didn't. And I went to Lutheran schools, parochial schools from, maybe first through eighth grade. And the only people they had in town was the local Roman Catholic school in town. And obviously you knew who they were on the bus and things. And I wonder how many parochial schools that weren't Roman Catholic simply didn't have uniforms because the local Catholic school in town did.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that too, especially the Lutheran schools. I mean, you'd never put your kids in checkered skirts and white shirts and little khaki pants. Maybe even a blazer with a little emblem on it, because that's what the Roman Catholics did. Now, where I grew up in Dallas, Texas. It was the Roman Catholics and the Episcopalians who all wore the uniforms to school. That was more of a status thing, to tell you the truth. If you wore a uniform to school, that was considered kind of a mark of social standing, because you were probably going to one of those big schools run by the Roman Catholic Church or the Episcopal Church, where the tuition was high and the parents drove their BMWs. So it was a mark of status. A lot of inner city schools have gone to uniforms for a very different reason, not as a mark of status, but because a lot of the kids can't afford the kind of clothes that they need to wear, and the uniform is the simplest, most economical solution. What do you think about it? 1-877-623-MY-IE, or email your questions, your comments, your thoughts to talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. You know, we don't have a dress code around here, Jeff, And some people would say that not having a dress code, even in the adult workplace, reduces people's morale. It reduces their productivity. It draws no line between get here and get to work and stay home and do what you need to do at home. I don't know. I think the best motivator for work is having to put food on the table. But, you know, in a lot of business places, they've adopted the casual Friday, where at least on Friday, you don't have to keep the business's dress code. Should the same thing apply in the classroom? Not only in parochial schools, where it's probably a little more popular, but also in public schools. 1-877-623-MYIE. It's open lines. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Are you finding it more and more difficult to find clothes as you go school shopping with the kids that are appropriate or that you hope would be appropriate for the kids to go to school in? I mean, it's one thing for the little girls to run around during the summer in their shorts and their little, what do they call them, belly shirts where their stomachs stick out, or their tank tops with their spaghetti straps. If you look at any dress code for any school, you'll find the spaghetti straps and the belly shirts are all out. Don't wear those. Don't try wearing those. My daughter goes to public school. When she shows up at school, if she's wearing something like that, they give her a special T-shirt to wear. They have a special T-shirt there at the public school that says something on it. I don't know what it says, like two initials, like clothes violation, CV or something like that. And they have to wear that the rest of the day over whatever it is they came to school in. But even then, standards are pretty lax when it comes to how the kids look. Should we tighten them up? 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. It's open lines. Do you think it improves their willingness to sit down, study, and work hard if they walk in wearing a uniform where things are more modest, where things are more set and standardized? Do you think there could be an advantage to some kids can afford better clothes than others? Do you think there could be an effect in the modesty area? I don't know. Britney Spears made her first video dressed in a Catholic girl's school uniform, and she managed to turn that, what probably had intended to be a model of modesty, into something quite different than a model of modesty. Today's show is dealing with the issue of how our young girls dress in a Britney Spears era, in an era where all of the models are young, adolescent, and very scantily clad whenever they can be. Their segment on this was called Too Sexy, Too Soon.
It's just sex, sex, sex everywhere.
I'm going from 7 to 8. It's almost like going from 7 to 17.
Aren't these gorgeous?
Yeah.
Everything you watch on TV, every magazine you open, it's everywhere. So to her and to her friends, it's a very normal way to be.
Mom thinks it's too short.
She wants to see Hannah Montana. They don't have childhood. So when she's maybe 7, she's going to start makeup or something like that. I want her playing with dolls.
When I was 11, mini skirts were first coming in.
I think the biggest difference is that because of the way the media is today, that you see it everywhere.
I think it's bad messages that they're sending to them.
We homeschool them because we want to protect them from the culture of Britney Spears. Okay. Jamie Lynn Spears. Okay. See, they know all these. I don't. And I don't let them watch it, but they know it's out there.
I look at it that it's a battle that if I give in now, then I lose now. And I'm not going to lose.
Don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. Be a kid and have some fun.
Hopefully, as parents, we can still instill in them basic values and good judgment, so that when they are older and 16 and 17 and you can't control them as well, that they're making the right decisions.
Okay, now this is troubling. I've got a little kids at home, and actually my daughter's not little anymore. She's almost 17. And the sexualization of young women, young men are also over-sexualized too. Don't make no mistake about it. Have any of you ever watched The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody? There's not a 9-year-old, 8-year-old boy out there who hasn't seen these twin boy? Jeff's never seen it, but he's not an 8-year-old boy anymore. You don't let
Justin's 10. We don't let him watch.
You don't let Justin watch the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Why not?
Just they're kind of like smart aleck kids, the way they talk to the adults, and they're the smart ones.
Yeah.
And,
you know, all the adults are bumbling fools, and so you've ruled it out for that reason, and not because there's a fair amount of sexual innuendo in that show.
Well, Beth would know better than me because I trust her judgment on it. So you'd have to call Beth and find out. I mean, she's probably listening. Maybe she can ask.
All right. Well, I mean, in any event, when these shows come on that are aimed at young boys and young girls, there is, I mean, it is very subtle. It is definitely kept at a PG rating. But even the boys, not only the girls, are saturated with this over-sexualized culture. And how they dress is reflective of it. Now, young boys, it's, you know, since young men, boys, for the most part, care very little about how they look. Mom has to comb their hair. Mom has to make sure they get a haircut. Mom has to make sure that they're wearing all of the proper things for going outside. 2 socks, 2 shoes, some underwear, some pants, and a shirt. But little girls are different. It starts very early. And you walk into the mall to buy them some school clothes, and you can't find clothes that are appropriate for school, much less even walking out on the street. And the girl's only 8 or 9 years old. But she wants to wear that because she's seen others wearing it. Is the answer school uniforms? I mean, I sent my kids to parochial school for some time, and at that parochial school, there were uniforms, and I'll tell you what, it made getting up in the morning, getting everybody dressed much, much easier. Very few choices to make. Is it a good idea? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Coming to you live this Thursday, August the 7th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
The excitement about going back to school. New grade, new classes, new friends. But did you notice that some of us are missing? The class of 2006 is missing nearly one-third of its classmates. Every day, more than 3,500 members of our generation are killed by legalized abortion on demand. This fall, take notice of the empty chairs and lockers. Remember why our classmates are missing, and join the fight to protect the most defenseless members of our generation, the unborn. This has been a Perspective on Life from National Teens for Life. For more information, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Pastor Dan Kistler, Connie Catron, Robert and Phyllis Peterson, Thomas Von Hagel, Matthew Niehaus, Michael Manns, Kevin Colander, Terry Trout, Ruth Hecht, and Pastor Chris Agnew, thanks for your support.
New technology, old theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Planned Parenthood seeks to undermine abstinence.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Planned Parenthood is in the midst of a nationwide campaign to convince state governors to reject federal funding for abstinence until marriage programs in state public schools. The pro-abortion organization argues that abstinence-only programs do not work and are a waste of taxpayer money. Critics of Planned Parenthood counter that abstinence programs do work and remind lawmakers that Planned Parenthood has a vested interest in sexually active adolescents. Despite such protests, Planned Parenthood has already convinced 14 states to reject federal funding for abstinence programs and is seeking to add to that number.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
And I am too sexy for Milan, too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about school uniforms. Is it a solution, at least one solution, to the over-sexualization of our children getting younger and younger, but more over-sexed all along? School uniforms, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I want to hear from you. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? Do you think it's a solution that will work, or just a Band-Aid on that problem? And what other reasons can you see for or against school uniforms? 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's Ann listening in Crestwood, Missouri. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I wore uniforms all through grade school and high school. Of course, it was in the 50s and the 60s. But I still think that what you wear has an effect on how you act. And there would be less distraction if everybody's kind of dressed the same. And there's always going to be those that buck against authority. There's still going to be the class clowns and the girls that want their skirts to be shorter and roll them up at the waist or whatever. But I think when you're sitting there in your desk doing your work, there's less distraction. I think it works.
Okay, so just in terms of kind of standardizing the way that people not only appear but also in terms of their behavior, you think it has that effect?
I think it does. I know this is a completely different era and different way of doing things, and there are schools where it is working. I think it would be a benefit.
Thank you very much,
Ann.
Maybe
more of a major benefit than a minor one, possibly.
Thank you so much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. I don't know. I notice it. I very, very seldom, only on Sunday mornings, and I think this has been true for many years now, only on Sunday mornings do I make an effort to dress the part. Now, if I'm going to preach someplace, I'll put on the pastor's clothes. And putting on a pastor's uniform, and it is a uniform, by the way, when a pastor dresses in the black clerical shirt or whatever color shirt, I mean, if they're going to be a little more, if they want to show their hippie roots, maybe they'll wear the purple one or the yellow one or something like that. But it makes a difference. You walk out of the house wearing that, you are acutely aware of what the uniform says. Anyone in the military can tell you that a uniform is a point of pride. It's not only has utility, say, on the battlefield, for keeping you camouflaged and telling you from the other guy and being a place where you can be able to recognize the signs of rank and things like that. But if you've ever seen a military person dressed in their dress uniform, they will tell you it makes all the difference in the world. They put it on, they can't help but stand up straighter and think of themselves as a soldier or an airman or a marine or a sailor. Is the same true of our kids when we put them in school? Nothing so restrictive as a military uniform, but just a school uniform. A psychological difference, an emotional difference about what they're there for and what they're supposed to be doing. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. And it does, if it's well regulated, it does sweep away in one large motion the whole question of how are the girls going to dress or how are the boys going to dress. It was about 6 months ago that there was a big fervor nationwide over young men's pants. How low can they go? I've talked with some of these young men where the pants are baggy and they're down where the waistband ends up down around kind of mid-thigh. And of course, everything above that's kind of covered by the baggy boxers or whatever, or some long shirt. I asked one of these guys, how do you keep your pants up when they're practically falling down? And he said, it's all in the way you walk. I said, do you use safety pins? Do you have secret suspenders? What's going on here? It's all in the way you walk. Is this true, Charlie, the way you walk? Charlie strikes me as a guy who in very recent past years probably wore the baggy pants down around his thighs. No? No, no. You know, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Although I will say, I was wearing a pair of my man pries the other day. At least that's what the listeners are calling them. And since I've lost a couple, 10, 20 pounds, things don't fit me as well as they used to. And so things get kind of baggy. And even no matter how I walked, of course, I'm middle-aged, no matter how I walked, I couldn't keep my pants up. And I was a little worried. I was actually in Walmart, a little worried that I'd left my belt at home and that I was going to make it all the way to the back of the store and then out without having some sort of what did they call it, a wardrobe malfunction. I managed to make it to the car. I was okay, but this affects both boys and girls, doesn't it? Glenn is listening in Ontario, Canada. Glenn, welcome.
Hey.
School uniforms are great. I think they do a lot of things for us. They standardize the playing field, give everybody the same uniform, same look, cut the teasing. Like you said, the pastor's uniform, like, they advertise for us. I mean, like, you're walking around with a school uniform on, people are going to ask you questions. Why are you wearing it? What are you doing? Where do you come from? What's going on? All those kind of things. It's just great all around.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn. I appreciate you listening in Canada as well. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE. Two votes, one from a woman, one from a man, on the not only the utility, but the fact that school uniforms are probably, on the whole, a good idea. Can you think of any cons when it comes to school uniforms? More and more parochial schools, regardless of their denominational affiliation, are going for the uniform. Now, they usually do it very gradually by just ranking up the dress code until kids are all dressed in a uniform fashion. But one way or the other, they get to the uniform. Well, guess who's going to be on the cover of next week's Time magazine? Actually, it's not that big of a surprise. None other than Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. Perhaps not for the reason you think he's going to be there. On Morning Joe on MSNBC, they talked about this with Mark Halperin of Time magazine.
Tell us what's going to be on the cover of Time magazine this week.
The cover this week is one of the biggest stories in American politics today, even though it's a cover about religion. Rick Warren, the Saddleback Church in California, really one of the most successful authors in the country, one of the most successful religious leaders, and now trying to be kind of a world entrepreneur to extend his model for how to bring services and faith around the world. And also a guy who's going to be the host, not of the first debate, but a week from Saturday, he's going to have both McCain and Obama in his church in California, 23,000 strong congregation, back-to-back appearances. He's a fascinating guy, and he's trying again to take different models of how you extend faith-based services, not just in the United States, but around the world.
It's fascinating that evangelical pastors and televangelists 30 years ago were all about, you know, the Great Commission, bringing people to Christ. That's all that mattered. Rick Warren really represents the new church that's about bringing services. I know at Hurricane Katrina, when I covered that, it was a bunch of young evangelical kids that were trying to help people in need. Warren represents that, doesn't he?
He does, and he does it in a way that he's trying to effectively be nonpartisan. He did support, or at least lean towards, President Bush in 2004, but he's had a good relationship with Barack Obama, who's spoken at the church before, and he's trying to not be captive to the so-called religious right, not just be identified with the Republican Party, and on a lot of issues like AIDS, like dealing with the environment. He's thinking more broadly, almost in a post-partisan way. And there are lots of things where he might be more closely aligned with Obama, some where he might be closely aligned with Senator McCain. But again, he's trying on a global way now to reach out and say, let's get a church in Africa to have a relationship with its local community the way he's done locally out in Orange County. He's such an impressive guy, such a charismatic guy, and this event he's doing in a couple weeks I think will be one of the biggest events of this election.
Isn't it interesting that Morning Joe, I don't know his last name, but Morning Joe was able to observe about Rick Warren's quote-unquote new church, he's part of the new church, that the old church was all about the Great Commission, preaching the gospel to all nations in our terms. I would say delivering the forgiveness of sins that is won for a world of sinners at the cross of Jesus Christ. But the new church is all about service, getting out there and serving the community. Now, the two don't necessarily exclude one another, but think about this. You can get service anyplace. You can get community service in droves. Any place. You don't have to go to a church for it. I do not think Christ sent his church into the world to perform acts of community service, although I'm not discouraging anyone from doing so. The church's purpose in the world, the one thing the church can do that no other organization, no other institution, no other entity can do, is deliver the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, purchased for us at the cross. You know, we can leave the community service not only to those agencies in the civil realm that do it better, cheaper, and more efficiently than we do, but we can also leave it to our people as they hear the forgiveness of sins and then live every day in their vocations. That's called community service too. But it's not the primary function of the church or the reason for which Christ sent it. Well, rest assured, we're going to keep our eye on what's going on out there in Orange County, and we will be following the story of Rick Warren with John McCain and Barack Obama, an attempt to not debate, but explain their positions out there at Saddleback. We'll see how it goes, and we'll talk more about it very soon on Issues Etc. When we come back, hour two of the program, we'll talk about Chinese religions, human rights. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.